In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Rodo Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Scott the King Angle, and of course, the fantasy executive Corey Parson here.
Oh, thank you, Scott. It's my butler.
Oh, that's mean. He does a nice thing.
That's it. Thank you.
That's the kind of person he is.
The kind of person you are. You walk right past me with this nice ice cold water and you head to the Corey.
Look, don't cry. Okay, I only got two hands. I'm like a waitress.
So you
sometimes it's Matt.
Greg,
sometimes it's Corey. It might be you tomorrow.
It's interesting because Corey has this red cup of something in his hand.
It's lean right here.
No, Matt has a cup of something.
Corey actually went out there to get water though, and there wasn't any.
Yeah,
so
I had need something to wash my lean down with. Yeah.
Corey went out there to go flirt.
And there's no women out there today.
I'm
not going.
There's a big burly man.
That's why he was out there.
All right, so it comes out yesterday afternoon. Julio Jones, according to Dan Quinn, is dealing with a little bit of a back injury.
Julio Jones is always dealing with something. One of the things of owning Julio Jones, you know this before you buy him or draft him, whatever. He's the kind of player that he is phenomenal. He is fantastic, but you just hate watching Julio Jones sometimes play football because he'll make a great catch, and then he gets up and he limps, and you think, like, you know. It's part of dealing with Julio Jones. I'll still take him on my team.
His body is betraying him, but he plays through it year after year after year. At some point, he's going to fall off the ladder playing like this. You know, big guy, got the feet problem, got the back problem. It's always something dealing with Julio, mainly those foot issues for a few years now. But he's always out there. He's always pushing it. His role in the offense is what's more scary to me.
Well, my issue is with everything you're saying is right, Corey, right? Like, he's got his feet beat up. Now he's got a little bit of a back issue. So he's always beat up. His body's betraying him a little bit. Well, when this happens, normally you can, all right, you know what? The body's betraying you a little bit. But at least you can just, you're good for that touchdown.
Yeah, he doesn't get in the end zone, and it's a problem, but it's not a horrific problem. I hate to say it this way. He's not a worth a top five fantasy pick.
Top five overall or top five wide receiver?
Top five overall. He's not worth a top five overall pick.
Here's an excerpt from the latest injury report on rotoexperts.com right now. From the inside injuries guy, he said he's proved his toughness playing through multiple ankle and foot injuries last season. Expect him to be limited at practice this week, even if it's a minor injury. Dan Quinn does not believe it to be serious, but backs are difficult to manage.
Yeah, so I want to go back to your statement, Corey.
Yeah.
You said he's not worth a top five pick. Mm-hmm. One person at the table.
that way.
Live from Rock and Riley's bar.
Sorry. What? I'm trying to listen. 6 o'clock in the morning, you come out here. You know what I'm saying? I deserve a little leeway. You feel what I mean?
Scott, why did you let him pour a glass on the radio?
And it's pretty damn hot here.
Yeah. Come on now. We still got that good mojo, that good fantasy advice. We got stuff about Julio we're going to get into when we come back, right, Greg?
Next on the Rush for some more.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
That Julio Jones is not worth a top five pick overall.
No, he's not.
I want to ask the person that took Julio Jones consistently as a top five overall player.
Yeah, I had Julio and Odell. I'm still buying Julio. Look, it is, as I mentioned previously before the break, it's a very frustrating experience owning Julio. The guy has the last 3 years, 1,400, 1,800, almost 1,600 yards. I think he's going to be just fine. He has a back injury and stuff. The numbers will be there at season's end.
I mean, does the narrative change if he has 160 yards and a touchdown this week? Probably does.
Give me 160 and two touchdowns.
That's possible.
I don't know that. I don't know the narrative changes because I think what Corey dislikes about Julio is that inconsistency, right? Like when you had a top five pick, you had your top five pick, right? You're theoretically it would be David Johnson. He obviously hurt himself. Le'Veon Bell, maybe Ezekiel Elliott when he was not suspended, Antonio Brown, and I mean that's it. That's like four or five right there, and Odell Beckham.
But by the same token, though, you say that inconsistency, though, people love Julio for the reasons that Matt just laid out because, yeah, he can disappoint you for 2 or 3 weeks, but then he can have these huge games like 3 or 4 times a year, and that's why people draft him as high as they do.
Well, that's not why I draft him. Because what does his huge games 3 or 4 times a year help me? I'd much rather.
Well, it's not like the rest of the seasons are going to be zero. Weeks are going to be, you know, like you know, one catch for 10 yards or anything like that. You sure. know, you're going to get 6 for 60, 12. You'll take that. Not everybody blows up every week, but I think people go after Julio because the upside is absolutely huge.
He's had 3 amazing seasons. You feel what I'm saying? And really, to be honest with you, you really look at it, he really just had like, I don't want to use Justin because I know the Julio truth is I don't want them coming for me. You feel what I'm saying? But in 2014, he had the 104 catches, 6 touchdowns, 1593. That's a great season. In 2015, this is one of the craziest seasons ever. 136 catches, 1871, 8 touchdowns. So
that's great. Why people draft him.
Yeah, that's
five.
A great season right there. Last year, 1409, 83 catches, 6. Those are
but
great.
But that's insane. On 83 catches.
Yeah, exactly.
1,400 yards.
It's crazy. You can't deny it. He's a great wide receiver. He might be the best player in the game, pound for pound, Julio Jones. But when it comes to fantasy, he's tricky. Because you're drafting him year after year as a top five guy. But on the weekend and week, has he finished as a wide receiver 1 yet this year? I don't think so. We're third through the fantasy season.
But neither is Dez. You know,
These
guys are going to get theirs.
Dez wasn't taking his top five overall pick.
I'm just saying.
You have teams that have Julio and Dez on the same team.
Sure.
I drafted Dez as a wide receiver 1. He hasn't been a wide receiver 1 yet. That's my point. You know, it's like, look, 3 weeks, you know, some of these guys have been disappointing, but there are better times ahead for sure.
So you'd hope, unless his back injury is actually, you know, something serious.
If healthy, yes. Always
in healthy. Speaking of injuries and when healthy, that leads me to Tyler Eifert. Tyler Eifert has his own back injury.
F him.
Now, I got to be honest with you.
Yes, Corey, I agree with Corey. I was out, I went back in, and
I got to be honest with you. Corey had him ranked like 72nd when it comes to tight ends, and we kind of laughed at him, we made jokes, and Corey was right. Like, why? And I want to remember this for next year, in all honesty, when they tell me that Tyler Eifert's healthy, and here we go, he's in everyone's top tens, but this is a dude that just doesn't, that his body just betrays him, he does not have the ability to stay healthy, and I'm just not going to do it again. Like, I get it, he's a red zone threat, I get it, he's a big body near the end zone, but he's just not capable of
how about
staying
this?
Healthy.
How about this? All in all, just wait on tight ends.
Yeah, I'm done with it. I'm done.
Because I'm never going to go after Gronk. You know, it.
I mean, Zach Ertz is the guy.
Zach Ertz.
That was the guy.
Look, even Kelsey had a dud this past week.
Sure. I mean, Zach Ertz was the guy. That's it. It was just waiting on tight ends and just never drafting one. The problem was, in one league, I waited and I drafted Hunter Henry and, you know, he was done.
The whole position has been driving people crazy. It's almost like tight ends have like morphed into kickers fantasy wise.
I don't know about kickers, but
you don't know what you're getting from week to week. With kickers, you don't know either.
It's frustrating. I'll say that it's quite obviously frustrating from the tight end. Corey, you're the one that was there. I said off on Tyler Eifert.
Yeah,
would you cut him?
It's hard for me to answer that question because I wouldn't have him.
Matt, you have him.
I have him, and that's something I was thinking about last night. They say he's going to be a miss several weeks. I want to hear a little more news, hopefully get some sort of a timetable on it. It's tough to drop him in, like, say, an NFFC league. That's, you know, because if I drop him and then 4 or 5 weeks later he comes back, just say for some magical reason he's healthy and can stay on the field, you know, that's pretty...
In a home league with 16 roster spots, with no injured reserve, I think I cut him. Because why are you carrying two tight ends? Why are you possibly carrying three tight ends?
So you're carrying two tight ends this year because tight ends are so brutal that you're trying to play the right matchup, right?
Like, yeah.
Like for me in leagues, I have Charles Clay and Evan Engram. Neither of them are good, but... you know.
Okay, if you want to carry Clay and Engram, I'm fine. Yeah. Or are you going to carry a third dude with a bad back?
No.
You see what I'm saying? You cut him.
I agree with you.
And
if
16 roster spots, cut him.
16 roster spot, home league, I agree with that.
Because you're keeping him on. I mean, if you have an injured reserve spot, put him in the injured reserve spot.
The thing is, like the NFFC, where there's an overall. If I get this guy back,
he could have some action down the stretch.
It is a tough call, though.
You almost have to carry tight ends because if you're playing the streaming tight end game, you know what I mean. Do you pick up Ryan Griffin and do this? So if you can put him in an injured in the IR spot, put him in the IR spot. If you can't put him in the IR spot, you can't stream him if he's not on the damn field.
But Corey. You really want to put him on the IR spot because, you know, he's probably going to get hurt again or stay there, and you might need the IR spot for someone else.
You're going to need it for somebody else. Yeah. You're like, you've been holding this spot for 6 weeks now. Get your bad back up, you know, and go play with Larry Bird.
Larry Bird.
Well, Larry Bird got the bad back, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. I'm John.
Back injury is dangerous for athletes.
Well, that's why I have to ask if Julio Jones being.
Julio Jones is a different kind of athlete.
This might be a time to go sniffing around for Julio Jones.
Inside
injuries. If you want to buy, this is a good time to buy.
Inside injuries on rotoexperts.com this morning says, you know, he'll probably be limited in practice this week.
He's limited every week. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? Who's his matchup next week? That'd be interesting to see.
Next week,
I haven't even looked at week four yet. I'm sorry, people. When y'all call up, don't ask no week four questions. I'm not ready. Me and Jake and Matt are not ready for them yet. Are you ready for them yet, Scott?
I'm ready for them yet, but Jake says don't ask me any questions. Just look at my link.
Check the link.
Yeah. Julio Jones is home against Buffalo.
Buffalo defense better, but they got to go down into the dome. Julio probably get off this week.
I think
we've seen that for a while. It's funny because I woke up this morning. I checked my.
If they use them,
I woke up. I look at my 3-0 team. Like, oh, this is great. And then I just have to go see my 0-3 team. It's not nearly as fun.
No, it's not.
But I still think that 0-3 team is better than the 3-0 team. But I had the least points in the league, which is bad. But
maybe your analysis is wrong.
But I have like by 65 points, I have the most points against.
That sucks. That should balance itself out.
You'd think so. I'm going to start Trevor Siemian this week, by the way.
I don't mind that.
I'm going to start Trevor Siemian over Jameis Winston.
Who's Trevor Siemian playing?
I don't know. I think that's foolish.
I don't know what we're going to do.
What's the matchup?
Jameis Winston's home against the Giants. Trevor Siemian is home against Oakland.
You know what? Oakland is Swiss cheese, that pass defense. Look at the Jets.
Look what Josh McCown
did versus Oakland.
I agree.
I couldn't do it just because I feel like Jameis is the better quarterback.
Sure.
He's got good volume. And I think you get into danger when you just look at the matchup. Not, I know you're more advanced than that, Greg, but you know everybody thought Jay Cutler was a good start this past week,
I
too.
Get it. Oh, I understand. Yeah. People are going to be backing on Jay Cutler this week, too.
Who does he face?
The Saints.
The Saints. Yeah, well, people are on Cam Newton against the Saints, too.
Well, I mean, Jameis Winston, after his first 2 weeks, matchup. Looks like you know his numbers are pretty much almost identical to Carson Palmer after his first 2 weeks. Just saying.
Wow.
Jameis Winston. Well, Jameis Winston had the game. Jameis Winston only played 2 games.
I'm saying their first 2 weeks. Carson Palmer in a 6-point lead put up 29 points last night.
Yeah, no, he was QB 13.
We'll talk about more matchups for week four coming up later in the week. We can't do this yet, Corey. We can't. You know,
I'm just looking at the schedule for the first time now.
Same.
The marquee matchup this week is Ravens Steelers. Is that still a thing, Ravens Steelers?
I don't know.
The Ravens, did they look marquee last week?
Well, the Ravens, I mean, come on. They lost the best offensive lineman. They lost, you know, they lost Williams on the defensive line.
It's a nasty week. The Colts, the Seahawks is Sunday night.
Doug Baldwin probably will be out.
Yeah, that's going to be a game time decision. So that's going to be something that we got to look forward to on Sunday
Inside
night.
Inside injuries on Roto Expert says don't expect him to play this week. It's a grade one groin strain. He needs 2 to 3 weeks to heal.
Doug Baldwin has his grade one groin strain. And if he is out and he's playing Sunday night, what do we do to replace him, Scott?
Tyler Lockett.
Dante Moncrief could be on the waiver wire.
Why? What?
Brissett looked better, you know, in the second game. I'm not telling nobody to go do that.
Is he playing the Browns again?
Lockett will step up if Dolman is out.
Yeah, you can't play. Yeah,
we'll
I'm sorry.
We'll more about that when we come back.
Can't do that.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
First of the morning.
Good
Fantasy
job hitting the post.
Sports Radio Network. Doug Baldwin, as we said, could be out this week with a groin injury. We'll see it's day to day. They don't believe it's serious, but it could keep him out a week, potentially two, as you saw. Inside injuries, player card, rotoexperts.com. Now, Scott, Doug Baldwin doesn't play. What did Seattle do to replace him?
Actually, there's a full injury report on rotoexperts.com right now from Inside Injuries, where they talk in detail about the injury.
Oh, you mean the thing I just said?
No, you said player card.
Is it not on his player card?
All this detail about his injury is not on the player card. It's the numbers.
Ladies, let's get to the analysis,
There's a full injury report right now on rotoexperts.com, part of your in-season exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package. Enter free radio checkout for a discount.
Ding.
They say optimal recovery time is 2 to 3 weeks. After I punch Corey in his mouth, optimal recovery time will be about a month. Baldwin, I think a lot of people are thinking that Paul Richardson is going to step up and just, be a bigger part of the offense. Paul Richardson's not the same type of receiver that Baldwin is. Tyler Lockett gets pushed back in the pecking order, but because Baldwin is there, he's more of the type of guy that can step up and replicate that skill set to catch high percentage passes and gain yardage after the catch. I really think that Lockett is the one that steps up here if Baldwin is out.
I got a question for you, Scott. How about us Jimmy Graham owners? Does Jimmy Graham play a more viable role this week?
I think he would have to if Baldwin is out. Every time he gets hit hard during the first three games, he drops a pass. So Russell Wilson is not completely confident in him. You can see it on film. So I think Lockett will step forward and play a role. And CJ ProSize, could be another sneaky play again.
If I need a tight end flyer this week, I would, especially with this news with Baldwin, if Baldwin is out, I wouldn't mind putting a dollar on Luke Wilson and playing Luke Wilson this week. Because it was at a point, before they went into helter-skelter mode, the Seattle Seahawks the other night, it was at a point where I legit was like, when they was running up and down the field and they were starting to move the football, when they what's the team they played this week?
Tennessee.
When Tennessee went into a more prevent look, Before that moment, I was literally thinking to myself, I should cut Jimmy Graham and pick up Luke Wilson, because Luke Wilson looks like he's a better player in the offense than Jimmy Graham is. This makes no damn sense that we're 3-4 years into this thing and Jimmy Graham and Russell Wilson still can't get it together. He never hits him in the red zone. Never. They always disconnect in the red zone. What the hell is going on?
I think this is on Graham. I really do.
I think it's on Russell Wilson.
I don't think it is.
I think it's on Russell Wilson. You don't never blame Russell Wilson for nothing, Scott. Russell Wilson
it's
is not perfect,
fault.
Scott.
I didn't
Russell,
say he was
stop
perfect.
Stop defending Russell Wilson all the time.
I didn't say he was perfect. He threw a big interception in the Super Bowl. Okay, I think it's on Graham.
I'm surprised you didn't blame Pete Carroll on that interception in the Super Bowl. It's not on Graham. It's on Russell Wilson.
No, it's not on Graham. Graham is not playing well. You bring up Luke Wilson. He hit Luke Wilson in the end zone for a touchdown.
Exactly.
Right. So it's not on Wilson. He's hitting other people in the red zone.
Somebody got to do something. Why can't they stay after practice and put in some work after practice?
It's on Graham. He's not playing with a lot of confidence. He's dropping passes. When he gets hit, Graham is not playing well. And when you bring up Wilson, he's been in this system for years. And Russell Wilson has hit Luke Wilson in big spots before. So that's a nifty flyer there.
We talking about practice?
What do you think, Greg? I'm serious. This week, when they was in the third quarter and Jimmy Graham had one catch for 1 yard yet again, I'm tired of looking at that stat line with Graham. And Russell Wilson, and Luke Wilson catching passes in the end zone? I would cut Jimmy Graham and pick up Luke Wilson.
No, you won't.
I would consider it.
I
can't do it with Graham no more.
Luke Wilson's going to be reliable fantasy-wise.
At no point will you talk yourself into starting Luke Wilson. That's just not true.
Doug Baldwin out this week, you can start Luke Wilson.
I don't think you can.
You start Luke Wilson or David Njoku. They both gonna have one catch.
Njoku. Njoku scored twice already.
These tight ends.
I'm not gonna start either of these guys. Come on.
But
Ryan Griffin.
Ryan Griffin is interesting too. The thing about Ryan Griffin is how's Deshaun? You don't know what the Deshaun Watson distribution is gonna be to these dudes. You know, I ain't giving up on Jimmy Graham just yet.
Look, you make valid points. But the guy's
coming. It's been 3 years. You feel what I'm saying?
But look, I mean, look at last year. He didn't have a bad year last year.
No.
And now this year.
He was inconsistent, though.
Yes. And this week, he got, what, 7 catches?
71 yards.
We're hoping this week, without Doug Baldwin, he takes a bigger role. I mean, this is the week where if you drafted him in the 5th round, 6th round, I think you have to play Doug Baldwin.
You know,
I think it gets spread around if Baldwin's not there. I think Lockett and Procise might be the two best ones to step up.
So what do you expect from Paul Richardson then? I scored in 2 straight games.
The same. I think
the same thing. Paul Richardson could be 5 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown.
No, that'd be great. He'd be 5 for 60 and a touchdown. Yeah. Fantastic game.
Yeah.
Don't at me too, Jimmy Graham people. I'm a Jimmy Graham dude. I was taking
at
Jimmy
the
Graham.
Fantasy exec.
I was taking Jimmy Graham. You feel what I'm saying? I'm a Graham guy, but I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't feel, and I can't figure out how these two dynamic offensive players can't get together. What the hell is Pete Carroll doing? They brought him in there for nothing.
I think it's on Graham. I really
you
do.
Scott,
think it's
of
on
course
Graham.
You do, Scott. You never go say things on Russell Wilson. Scott.
Russell Wilson threw for 365 yards to everybody else
in garbage time.
No, but. I'll say this. You do have a Russell Wilson doll.
This is very true. I also have a Corey Parson doll. But that's a voodoo
that's
doll.
That's getting creepy.
That's a voodoo doll.
Don't do that to me.
Yeah.
Don't touch my doll here.
Ow. I got a pain in my neck.
What else, Greg? These tight ends are something else. What else we got, Greg?
I wanted to get into what Jack Del Rio called that Amari Cooper for yesterday.
Dropping the damn ball?
Dropping the damn ball. He got 6 drops now in the year, 3 of which I believe, or 4 of which came in week 1, 1 in week 5, 1 in week 2, 1 in week 3. So Amari Cooper and drops are a thing. It's mental. I get it. But this week, Amari Cooper and the Raiders face off against Denver. And what is inside injury saying about Michael Crabtree, Scott?
I will tell you in a second here.
Pull that up. This is a tough matchup, the no-fly zone, you know what I'm saying? But I would not be fading Crabtree and Cooper, even though they have the no-fly zone this week, because they're used to playing against these teams. This is a division matchup, so they're going to get that work regardless.
They are used to playing, but Derek Carr, his problems have come
against the Broncos.
In the division, the Broncos, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Chargers unfortunately lost Verrett for a season. Okay. They still have some good pieces on that defense, but that was a major blow.
Maybe you can sit Carr this week if you want to stream Carr. I can see you streaming Carr this week, but you have to warm up Crabtree and Cooper and hope for the best.
Inside Injury says Crabtree, the injury risk category is high, but the health performance factor remains above average. So, you know, he could get hurt again, but as long as he's in there, he will play well.
Matt. How concerned are you about Amari Cooper going forward?
Look, it's definitely an issue, these drops. But, I mean, this kid has so much talent. What he's done as a 21, 22-year-old, it was so encouraging week one. They got him the ball in the red zone. He got, as Scott said, best touchdown of the week. And even the game against the Jets, he almost made a great catch on the sideline in the end zone, just out of bounds. I'm still going to buy this kid. If somebody wants to sell him, I'm going to step up. This is a tough week, but I believe, you know, going forward, I'm going to buy the talent. I'm going to buy everything I've seen, every reason I like this guy entering the season. I'm going to buy. Are you going to start? If you were a Derek Carr person after the performance against Washington, now he's got Denver. Are you off of Derek Carr?
I think he's streamable this week. You can bench him this week.
If you feel like Matt, okay, that this is the week to swoop in and trade for Amari Cooper because of the matchup. It's all about how you sell the trade. All about how you sell the trade. Cooper hasn't done anything yet. You know, it's now he faces Denver. You sure you want to keep him? Now, look, if somebody would bring that to me or Matt or Corey or Greg, they would say, well, you can't sell this on us, you know, because, you know, of our level of experience, etc. If you playing against in an average league, you can sell it and you can get Cooper this week.
I mean, there's other.
But
do you want him this week?
That's what I'm getting to.
But you don't want him this week.
But if you want him,
I think he makes that.
Well, hold on. Right. My point is, yes. Do you want Amari Cooper this week? Maybe not. Do you want Amari Cooper going forward over some other guys? The schedule doesn't exactly lighten up for him, right? You're in Denver. You're against Baltimore. I know Jacksonville towards Baltimore. That good defense before that game. The Chargers without Verrett, but you could have Casey Hayward on him. Then you have KC. Like, the schedule doesn't exactly really lighten up in a major way. Coming down the pipeline, you have Denver again. You're facing Janoris Jenkins and the Giants. And then the playoffs. The playoffs are good because you have KC, but then you have Dallas and Philly. So the playoffs are good.
I'm going to buy the talent.
He's going to go on a streak, but he's going to look like the best wide receiver in the NFL.
So you're still all in on that. Yeah. Okay. So I had some names I wanted to throw at you guys and see if you have them over Amari Cooper.
They better be some good names, Greg.
Would you rather Michael Crabtree?
I'm still a Cooper guy here.
I'm Cooper.
Cooper.
Would you rather have Keenan Allen?
Yes.
I know I should say Keenan Allen, but I'm going to say Cooper. I mean, Keenan Allen's probably the guy, but...
Allen is proven more dependable.
When he's on the field, look at the numbers.
I'm saying when he's on the field.
It's true. I agree with you. When he's on the field, he's just peppered with targets.
Would know what I'm talking about.
I'm being stubborn here. I'm staying with Cooper.
I would say Allen.
I would recommend for people, Keenan Allen, for myself, Amari Cooper.
Cooper.
That was a good one, though, I feel like.
I'm being stubborn. That was a very good one.
All right, so then, if you're that close...
You needed a vindication?
Amari Cooper or Dez Bryant?
For me, I'm going to go Cooper here, too. It's very close. It's pretty much a coin toss. But I think this kid has the chance to be.
I'm going to go Dez for more touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm going to go Amari Cooper. I'm buying the talent again.
So it's so interesting to me that both of you guys, not so much Scott, both of you guys have not moved an inch on Amari Cooper after the first three games.
I mean, I pretty much had them back-to-back in my rankings.
Maybe if you were to say T.Y. Hilton.
You would have said Stephon Diggs.
With luck.
That's on here, too.
With luck coming back, I might buy T.Y. Hilton.
When we get back,
I have more names on here. Like five of them. Take a break. We'll do more of this. T.Y. Hilton's included on here. Stephon Diggs is included on here. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts.
Relax. I'm talking Don Burns. Wow. Yo.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning program. And before we went to break, I wanted to see how high everybody was on Amari Cooper. And it really seemed like nobody... Scotty was kind of where I thought you guys would be. Like, Scotty, like, all right, made some adjustments and has Keenan Allen over him and some other people. And I'm with you, Scott. I am. Like, I'm not cold on Amari Cooper so much, but, like, there are guys I've moved on. Matt Modica and Corey Parson at this point have not. They are kind of where they were at the beginning of the year. So I had a couple more I wanted to throw out at you. Could go to the guy you requested first, Corey, and that is T.Y. Hilton. Would you rather have T.Y. Hilton or Amari Cooper?
I'm very optimistic on Hilton moving forward. I like the fact that Brissett made it a thing to get him involved, even though it was more matchup-based, but Brissett made it a thing to get him involved and get him going, and then you saw the kind of dynamic playmaking ability he has. He's a better wide receiver than Amari Cooper is right now, T.Y. Hilton. So I would take T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Corey because look, T.Y. Hilton is a victim of circumstance right now. But Reset shown he'll throw the deep ball. And if you believe that Andrew Luck is coming back, now is the time to grab him. And I know he's coming off of that big week. Maybe you should have got him before, but there seems to be some hope that Luck will be back, you know, week six, week seven. So, yeah. I mean, I just think T.Y. Hilton is just so proven right now.
The victim of circumstance. But I'm going to say Cooper because I'm not confident that Brissett is going to be able to do this every week. And, you know, still, how is Luck going to look when he comes back? So I'm still going Cooper.
Can I read a tweet from yesterday? I actually retweeted it, too.
No.
It was from @ClutchFantasy. Needs to be said, the best wide receiver in the 2015 class is not Amari Cooper. It's Stephon Diggs. This received 344 retweets.
Okay.
Just saying. Wanted to throw it out there.
That's like a LeBron James tweet.
You retweeted that 344 times?
333, but, you know.
No, it's not.
Would you rather have Amari Cooper or Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs.
So, you had said previously you'd rather have Amari Cooper than Dez, you'd rather have Amari Cooper than T.Y., you'd rather have Amari Cooper.
No, I said T.Y. over. Oh,
okay, you said T.Y. Would you rather have Stephon Diggs or T.Y.?
Oof. That's really close, too.
Both with healthy quarterbacks? T.Y. Hilton's a better player.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton's been the better player. That's a really tough one. I'm probably going to still... If Andrew Luck's playing, I probably got to lean.
Okay, but you don't know when Andrew Luck's playing.
I know. I understand.
I'm just making that clear. You guys, you're choosing T.Y.
Present day right now, under the circumstances, I'm going
to
say Stephon.
Well, what's kind of crazy to me is you took T.Y. now. It's week four. Andrew Luck isn't expected back until at earliest week six. Already ruled out for week four. God knows if he'll practice at all this week.
He's not practicing.
Okay. I'm shocked you're taking T.Y. over Amari at this point. That's
another close one. It's one of those things. These are good ones. I like playing this game.
Well, it's a fun game. You should like playing it.
Oh no, he could practice this week.
Amari.
Andrew Luck could practice this week, but he has been ruled out for week four. But he could practice this week.
Okay, so like I said yesterday, I'm concerned. You just brought it up, Scott. Like, we have no idea what kind of Andrew Luck is, what kind of Andrew Luck we'll get as soon as he comes back. And it makes it very, very hard, in my opinion, to just trust T.Y. I basically feel the same about T.Y. as I did last week. And even though he went off this week, I'm still very, very concerned about that.
Yeah, and to your last question, I would take Diggs over Cooper.
But this is the week.
So Diggs is now a top five wide receiver for everybody.
Looking like
it,
yeah.
I mean, I was saying he was before the season, I said he could possibly be mid-second round, creeping to the first round. So if I believe that highly in this guy, he's up there with all these guys. I mean, I don't think, like, everybody we're talking about, it's not like, we're saying any of these guys are bums. These are all top talented wide receivers. So this is a fun exercise. The thing with T.Y. Hilton coming off of that game, now he faces at Seattle. So this is the week to try and get involved with him.
Sure.
And with Diggs, I'm going to do my in-season ranks later today on rotoexperts.com, an exclusive Edge fantasy football package. And Diggs is going to be up there in that top six for sure.
Nah, Diggs is a hell of a player.
He's earned it.
I can put him over Cooper. I can't put him over T.Y. Hilton yet, but I like the way Diggs look. He's getting it done right now. If he plays 16, he's going to put up a big season. You can't guard him.
Can you guard him?
He's not like unguardable like how DeAndre Hopkins is unguardable. He's unguardable like how Antonio Brown is unguardable.
Sure, but you can say the same about Stephon Diggs at this point too, potentially. Huh? You can say the same about Stephon Diggs.
I think it would be a good exercise, not today, but to do like the top 10 running backs and the top 10 wide receivers from where we saw them and now.
Yeah, I'll do that, later today. We can compare it tomorrow.
Oh.
Potentially, potentially. We'll see what I got going on tomorrow on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Scott's doing a takeover.
Yeah.
Let me continue on with some of the big stuff from yesterday. Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb, were both limited. They didn't practice, so they were listed as limited, whatever that means. They played Thursday night. Ty Montgomery, they've already said he didn't look. Michael Carter says he didn't look worn down. He looked fine. Loved a little bit of a wrist injury. He returned. He's going to play on Thursday night. Corey, you think your boy plays Thursday night?
Who's that?
Randall Cobb.
No, I don't think Randall Cobb plays. I think Randall Cobb will take off. I think Randall Cobb will
take
back
off,
week
and
five.
I think that's
the smart move here. You've seen Allison for what they need. Can get it done in the interim. Give him this time. I mean, why not play the long game? You're the Packers. You're going to probably be in the playoffs. So,
you know that you have a guy in there, you know, who can step forward and do the job like he did last week. And he's got a pretty cool, good rapport already with Aaron Rodgers, you know. So why risk it? Play it safe, you know. Do the smart thing as an NFL ball club. But you know, of course, you know, the team doctors are going to make this final decision. But I had Geronimo Allison in draft champion, so that was nice this week. As far as Cobb goes, injury risk category elevated. If he does play, though, they estimate his health performance factor to be above average at 68%.
Interesting. I agree with you, Corey. I don't think Cobb plays. I don't think that you see. They just give him 3 weeks. There's no
reason for him to get out there right now. They keep that thing humming without him. Short week two. Let him get the big break and then he come back fresh.
Is there
concern with Devontae Adams after 3 weeks? He had 3 receptions.
It's a fair question.
When everybody was gone.
Yep.
And then 3.
It's a fair question. I think there is concern. I don't think the bottom is dropping out of Devontae Adams, but there is concern. And we talked a little bit of this yesterday, Corey, you and I, about Devontae Adams. And I think that, like, there's concern, but I'm not giving up exactly on Devontae Adams.
He'll have his weeks,
yeah.
Inside injuries, the full player database on rotoexperts.com for premium users says the optimal recovery time for Randall Cobb's injury is 2 to 3 weeks.
So that would be week 5.
It would make sense.
Week 5,
yeah. All right, Devontae Adams. Would you rather have Devontae Adams or would you rather have Demaryius Thomas?
You give me the safety of Demaryius Thomas.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me the safety of Demaryius Thomas. You know what role he's going to play in the offense. There's not that many other weapons. He's still the one out there. Devontae Adams, like you said, he's going to have his weeks, and he's going to have his weeks where you're going to be like, F this guy.
In a PPR, I'll take Thomas. In a standard, I'll take Adams.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with Thomas. I think Manny Sanders is probably the guy to own.
Demaryius Thomas is going to have more yardage.
He's not going to score as many touchdowns. He hasn't scored yet. Emmanuel Sanders has become a real go-to guy for Trevor Siemian. I still like Demaryius, but you know the touchdowns aren't there.
Would you rather have Devontae Adams or Golden Tate?
Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather Devontae Adams or Alshon Jeffrey?
Alshon Jeffrey.
Devontae
He's the
Adams.
Number one. I'm always going to most likely take a number one over a number two. I know it's Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
I didn't know what he did last year.
Sure.
But the volume that Carson Wentz is throwing at.
Devontae Adams. I feel like, you know, when I watch Jeffrey, it's just like, I don't know if the injuries have caught up with him or anything. He doesn't look like the same receiver he used to be. Like, you know, catch him for 10 yards and it'll go nowhere.
Who's that?
Jeffrey.
Too much volume. I think I got to go with the
And if you want to go on the thing like with Dez with Jeffrey, he had Norman, he had Jenkins,
sure.
So, you know, and against Kansas City, he put up 22 points. So.
What would you rather have, Corey?
Oh, you're talking about
Alshon Jeffrey.
He's a one.
Okay. It's similar to what here Matt said. Mm-hmm. As we said, just a few moments ago, Andrew Luck going to be out for week 4 already. The week 6 is the latest prognosis. We'll see if that actually happens.
That's the first time we've gotten timetable.
But no,
that means something.
It means something. I agree with both of you guys. It's a little suspect, yes. But a little promising.
They've never said anything.
They didn't.
Let's be clear. They didn't say anything. Ian Rappaport said something, and Rapp's gotten stuff wrong. To be honest with you, not that we all haven't gotten stuff wrong, Rapp's gotten stuff wrong. The Colts have not said a word.
This is the first timeline we've heard of this scenario.
From any report.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The interesting thing is going to be, like, I own Luck in the Flex Cup, and that's a super flex league, but I'm waiting to see. Say he's going to be ready week 6. You know, like, week 5, you're going to start getting those low ball offers for Andrew Luck from people. People that believe. There are some people that want no part of him. So if you believe in Andrew Luck and you own him, do not just give him away.
When we come back here, I still want to give Andrew Luck away, to be honest with you. Hold on. I still want to give Andrew Luck away. It's just, I understand I've waited this long on him, but it's like, I have no idea what this guy's going to be back when he comes back. Is he Andrew Luck all of a sudden, or is he Cam Newton? I don't know.
He's not going to be Cam Newton.
All right, take a break. We'll come back. Oh, it's Melvin Gordon. That's super
cool. Another one.
So let's talk about Melvin Gordon next here on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
So we're back here on the program, and Melvin Gordon left on Sunday with a bit of a bone bruise in that knee.
Yeah.
He is deemed day-to-day, whatever that may mean. What does Dr. A and the Inside Injuries guys say about that one, Scott?
They're saying that it's probably best for him to rest this week.
Okay.
Based on the history of his knee injuries dating back to college. That's the full injury report on rotoexperts.com right now.
So if that's the case, and we're going to get to this next hour, how much you need to spend on Brandon Oliver. Brandon Oliver's about to become a thing.
Yeah. I put in a decent-sized bid for Brandon Oliver. Right? I own Melvin Gordon in a couple spots, so... Brandon Oliver, and I'm looking through my lineups now. I don't know why I didn't carry Brandon Oliver anywhere as the handcuff and the backup, Bo Oliver. But, you know, I really don't really like drafting handcuffs like that. But I think you got to go out there and get Bo Oliver because of how much work Melvin Gordon gets. Oliver could be in line for that kind of workload, too. Now, he's not going to produce with that workload. But, you know, if we find out before the game starts that, what's son name? Melvin Gordon is going to be out.
Sure.
Today's Joe Pisapia's birthday. That Melvin Gordon is going to be out.
Because you're on Facebook.
Well, I'm trying to find out information on Melvin Gordon.
So you check Facebook?
Yeah. Oh. He's my Facebook friend.
Why don't you check Roto Experts?
Huh?
Why don't you check Roto
Because you've been talking about that all morning, Scott.
So you don't need to check anything.
We don't need everybody talking about the same thing. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, we're supposed to promote the site.
Huh?
Supposed to promote
You've been doing
site.
It every segment, Scott.
Right. You don't have to go anywhere if I already said it. Maybe if you would listen.
Melvin Gordon plays at 4 o'clock against Philly. And if you don't have Brandon Oliver, it's going to be a problem. There's a guy in my league, actually the person I'm playing this week, that last week at like 12 o'clock picked up Brandon Oliver and Wendell Smallwood.
I hate that.
It's frustrating.
I wouldn't pay my league fee.
I'm going to pay my league fee. I might have already done it, to be honest with you. But Melvin Gordon could be out. You're going to have to watch it. You're going to have to pay up Brent Oliver. Like I said, we'll talk about that next hour, just how much you should pay. Let's go to the Washington running game now. So Samaje Perine hurt his hand. Rob Kelly obviously still battling the rib injury. This is going to be interesting to see either these guys play. And the problem with this one, Scott, is it's Monday night.
Yeah. As far as Samaje Perine, inside injuries are saying he should be out on the field next Sunday. They are expecting Monday. Him to play Monday.
Yeah. So hopefully he plays. He's got that Bruce hand. What about Rob Kelly? Do they expect Rob Kelly to play as well?
Right now they're still iffy on Kelly. It's still unclear.
Okay. So yeah. We'll see if either of those guys practice. They probably get back to the practice field on Thursday. So we have to wait a little bit for that. Sticking with running games, Jordan Howard not even on the injury report this week, Corey. Obviously he was very, very... it took him a while to get up after these big hits on Sunday, but they play Thursday. He's not even listed on the injury report.
He is, it's good to see that he's not listed on the injury report, not yet. So as long as he's healthy and good to go, I think you roll him out there. Like I said, he's we just saw how dangerous he is this week. But when everybody writes him off, he finishes RB1, so got to be careful when you're doing that.
Kelvin Benjamin, Scott, his knee is seemingly okay. He's day-to-day, avoided major structural damage. He is not expected to play this week.
Inside Injuries is saying that he should, although he's avoiding season-ending surgery, he could miss multiple weeks. A minor one ligament sprain comes with an optimal 2 to 4 week recovery time.
Yeah, so like I said, not expected to play this week. But does that mean Devin Funchess will step up? Probably not, because Devin Funchess isn't good. How about that?
Devin Funchess has never stepped up.
He isn't good, but the targets are there right now.
Yeah, he could be 5 for 50 in a touchdown.
And yeah, he is. He's going to be an end zone target. I am not a Devin Funchess guy, but look, there's worse options out there, believe it or not, in certain leagues. At least to have on your bench.
Look, let's not get into say what he's good or not. Do you like how much do you like Mohamed Sanu, Greg?
Not really.
I think Devin Funchess could be Mohamed Sanu.
I don't think
Give me the Atlanta offense rather than Devin Funchess.
Carolina, the Carolina sucks.
Yeah, no. Who would you rather have, Devin Funchess or Mohamed Sanu?
I would take Mohamed Sanu.
I know your answer.
It's close.
You're, you know,
it's close. Funchess would be higher in the pecking order, I think.
What pecking order?
He might be the number one receiver now.
He still the offense scores 6 points a game. They score 6 points. Sucks. He sucks and they score 6 points. Cam sucks. Carolina offense sucks. I've been telling everybody that since damn May that the Panthers offense was going to suck. And guess what? They suck. They suck.
So you're saying they suck?
I think it's very close. I'm going to go Funchess.
What's close? There's nothing close about it, Scott.
I'm not comparing the offenses. He's gonna have
they
got to
score the football. Cam Newton is playing like trash right now.
He is.
They can't move the ball
up
and down the damn field.
I'm not disagreeing with you that
outside
it's a bad
Christian
offense.
McCaffrey, you can't stop none of those dudes. They all suck.
I don't disagree with you that it's a bad offense. I think they're both mediocre wide receivers.
I think you're mediocre.
Doesn't matter what you think, though. Well, 141, 116. What does that make you?
Oh, boy.
One and two
in our league.
Let's take a break. We'll come back on TV live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.